Welcome to Fronteras, Changing America. I'm Carlos Correa. On the program, Jorge Guevara, teacher at the Las Cruces Academy. We'll talk to him about education around the globe and its comparison to how children are learning here in the United States. Now, although math results across the country compared to other nations are discouraging, we rarely hear a math teacher's take on the topic. I'm very happy to have with us today Jorge Guevara, local educator. Hello, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Carlos.
First, Jorge, tell us a little bit about your educational history prior to coming to Las Cruces.
Well, I finished my high school and my upper education in Cuba, and I specialized in math instruction in the pedagogic institute that they have over there, which is very influenced by Russian schools and, you know, all the traditions that were practiced in Eastern Europe and all over Europe 50 or 60 years ago.
Many people may be wondering, why didn't you stay in Cuba and teach there, or maybe another Latin American country, instead of coming to the United States?
Well, basically because I'm an immigrant and I came to the United States, ended up here, and I'm very glad of that, and for different circumstances. But I did teach in Cuba for about 2 years after we finished our studies. We have to go through training with specialized teachers and master teachers.
Now, as we mentioned, you're a teacher at the Las Cruces Academy. For many people who haven't heard of the wonderful things you guys are doing there, tell us a little bit about the institution there.
Well, the school is geared towards talented kids and kids that really need to be challenged. The founders of the school are scientists, and their requirements are, and their level is quite high. And basically what we do is challenge and treat topic straight to the point. It's very deep, the level of content that we tackle.
I remember going out there to the Las Cruces Academy a couple of weeks ago and talking to students there. And my first thought is, how difficult is it for teachers to help keep these students entertained and focus on the topic at hand?
Well, basically, that is part of education that is obviously entertainment, but most of the real idea is to challenge and find ways for kids to discover concepts and relationships among ourselves. And we use very, very strong methods of educators are very well prepared. We have a specialist in English, which I think is the most important topic that a child needs to learn in order to understand questions that are gonna be coming at him and all the other challenges. And for instance, the kids write plays, and it's very encouraging to see them actually producing writing plays and writing commentaries and books.
Mm-hmm. Now, these gifted students at the school, it's not a big school there, right? It's rather small.
It's still small because it's only 3 years old, and the population is increasing. We have quite a few students to wait. We are trying to obtain some of the facilities and get all the right campaign to get the influx of donations, because it's to the high interest of Las Cruces to improve this school and this type of education.
Now, education is really important around the country, especially here in the state where lawmakers are working hard to improve it. What are your thoughts on improving education here in New Mexico?
Well, in the case of New Mexico, it's exactly the same as all over the United States. I think the United States as a sole country needs to adopt universal standards for the whole nation, and this is not the case. We have standards that differ from state to state, and nations, even larger nations such as Russia, China, they just go by the standards that make sense all the way, and they're very coherent. There is a movement, it's called the Common Standards Movement, and a lot of states are aligning. As far as I believe, Texas and Alaska are one of the few that do not want to be part of this program, but most of the other states do want to go align as a nation in a whole. And that way it creates a better understanding among teachers and in education and schools.
In your role as a teacher, how are you able to share your culture and where you come from with your students?
Well, I can only teach the way I was taught. And I remember when we were younger and participated in math competitions, we constantly had over some teacher coming over from Poland, Russia, Hungary, Germany to give us instruction and prepare us. They were usually the trainers of their teams there. In a lot of other countries, math is actually seen as a sport. Same thing happens with science, biology, physics, chemistry. Chess is also in the category of a sport, which fits into math and logic thinking.
So what do you think the problem is that some educators face here, not only in New Mexico, but across the country when it compares to teaching students in other countries?
That question refers to the importance of having a common standards. We are all humans, regardless of where we come, and the principles are going to be the same in any part of the world. Once they are discovered and proved, the easiest way to think about this is just the laws of physics. You know, the gravity is going to be the same everywhere. So basically it's what we all have in common. We want to learn and improve, and education, particularly math and science, caters to an ability to succeed later on and throughout your student life. Engineering careers, we're talking about fields that are really very well remunerated when these kids grow up and they enter the workforce.
Now, Jorge, you are a math teacher at the Las Cruces Academy. How do you keep your students interested and make the subject of math fun? Because I know it could be difficult.
Well, basically you have to find a way to let every child's experience, not even see, experience that within their mind there is a playground. There are many questions. The same way some students are prone to play puzzles, some others need to get into that habit. And that's the key right there. You need to understand that challenging and triumphing over difficult questions is rewarding, even for yourself. And it will be a very rewarding later on in life, but the fun is right there, mm-hmm. doing something with your brain, the same way an artist, a performer, a dancer, or in gymnastics, you know, they do feats that are very challenging. It's nothing, no different.
Now, I know over at the Las Cruces Academy, you all teach a method called Singapore Math. Can you tell us a little bit about that program?
Yes, that's the method that we use, and this is the reason why I came to the school to teach, because they understand that it's a straight-to-the-point method. It's a non-nonsense system of mathematics that was actually developed in Singapore when one of their main goals was to develop the nation. They did not have resources, and they understood that education is what was going to take them actually to the point where they are right now. And they increased their income, their ability to design and to negotiate banking, any industry, computer, software, anything was developed there after the importance to education was put in first place. And I think everybody understands that that's the right way to go. They used to use former methods that were used by other nations and decided to write their own and came up with a very successful program that put them at the top in the TIMSS mathematics test, which gathers students from different countries and selects those that perform better. And they've been number one for quite a number of consecutive tests, and that's why the interest about Singapore math. But Singapore math is just traditional math. Mm. The name comes from the fact that it was the tests and the curriculum was actually conceived in Singapore.
Do you think that this method helps them understand math better?
It's very visual, which is very important in mathematics. And I have never found a better method. And I've even traveled to India as far as to India to see how the kids learn mathematics. And I found Singapore math to be the right amount of mathematics of complexity in a way that it allows a teacher to be unique. So, you know, that it's never shortcutting the love for the subject that teachers should have.
I know that you brought a sample of the book that you, or the text that you teach in your class. Is there an example of a problem that you would teach in your classroom?
Well, for instance, I could give you a very simple example of a second grade problem that we might encounter. And we did this problem today, and quite a few students did not get the right answer. And the problem is talking about one child has nine red balloons, and there are some other child has three times that. How many balloons are there in total? Three times that of blue balloons. Mm-hmm. One child. How many balloons do they have in total? For quite a few children, the obvious answer was to say 27. Three times nine is 27, but they forgot to include the nine original balloons that the first child had. And it's always concentrated on reading properly. And the right amount of information that is thrown at the child goes in very decent increments. It respects the ability, the time that we need for a child to develop the ability to read written text and create and compact that information into a mathematic sentence.
What do you think was the reason why some of the students didn't get it?
It was just not reading right. Mm-hmm. And they got it the second time, but they need, you know, you need to read and read over and make sure that your work is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, and that selected, separated some from the few that could not do it, but it was one simple example. I'm talking about second grade. Mm-hmm. I brought you here, this is a fifth grade textbook. And I just want you to appreciate how thin it is. And this is only for second semester. We are now on the second half of the year. Mm-hmm. Most of the viewers will probably know, as far as you could remember, how thick and mm-hmm. and voluminous a typical mathematics book was, and heavy, even difficult to carry. This is quite light, and mm-hmm. you know.
So why the change from the typical thick book to what we have now?
Well, because it's a different curriculum. It does not throw every mathematic fact in there as intended to be memorized. It just concentrates on the thinking, on situations where you think, and it doesn't stress concepts. This one does stress concepts mm-hmm. primarily, not just algorithms to be learned by heart and problems that will be appearing over and over again. This one is a constant change of difficulty level, going from less to more demanding situations.
Now, the math problems that most students work on in your classroom, are they timed, or do they have pretty much all day?
Sometimes we have math sprints, which are intended to develop automaticity. The child needs to know the multiplication facts and have sight to know how to add numbers together, quantities, in different units of measures, any kind of math ability that needs to be done fast, basically mm-hmm. multiplication and addition facts, they are actually very, very, very convenient to be timed. And we usually have those two, three times a week, but most of the tests are open-ended questions, not even multiple choice. They have to learn how to compact mathematic ideas into written form.
Do you think it would be difficult for a teacher who is unfamiliar with this, who maybe works at like a public school setting, to come in and teach this type of form?
Well, it's better if you have a similar training when you went to school, mm-hmm. and this happens all over the nation countries. Elementary school teachers in Asia do not actually have much specialized training, other than the fact that they did learn math very properly. But you know, there are many ways. Actually, many teachers that have never used the program have found that they actually learn math mm-hmm. while doing it. That's how good it is and how visual it is.
Now, the Las Cruces Academy is using this method. Do you think that around the country here in the United States, we'll be using this more in other schools?
I think it's been spreading, and I think it's one of the choices that schools that do want to teach math properly have. In my opinion, it's the most viable, and because they have a lot of resources put in place. Since I teach talented kids, for instance, along this work, this textbook, which comes paired with a workbook, I also have the choice to use those sprints that I talked to you about, mm-hmm. math sprints, and I also have extra problems to get them. But essentially, I have a very good program from 1 through 6th grade. It's called Challenging Math Problems, and that's what I use with my kids because the school is geared towards talented kids, and they do need challenge at any given moment. And that allows me to fit into that and create an atmosphere for them to get into math competitions in the future.
How important is it to keep these students from getting bored?
It's important in not only those kids that have the privilege to attend a school that has dedicated teachers. It's very important for anybody to have a perception of what you're doing and what is it for. And math is great for that.
Do you think the Singapore math would be performing well in low-achieving public schools?
Of course, I think. Anything that is correct from first grade is going to have a high possibility of success. And because I've seen so many situations where there is no coherence on the textbooks that I used to use when I taught in public school, that I could not believe it. I just don't think anybody could gather any mathematics skills out of that.
I think I became a journalist, so I didn't have to deal with math. But specifically, Hispanic students out there, how would this method impact them?
Well, Singapore, this method was developed in a country whose primary language is not only English. Mm-hmm. That's the language of education and the laws and due to the influence of England, I'm quite sure. But, you know, there are other languages like Tamil and Malay and Chinese that are spoken in the country. So a lot of students in Singapore, in the country of Singapore, are actually English learners. They don't speak English in their house as their primary language. And we have a lot of students in our country in the same position. I think it's written in very concise, direct English, particularly this edition, which is intended for the United States. If you see, this is the U.S. edition. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of terms that are mostly used in England, and names of local fruits that are not in this edition. It's all especially written for the United States students, and it also includes the customary units of measure, mm-hmm. because they use decimal units of measure. We actually use more measures than that, gallons and, you know, quarts.
Are there other challenges that Hispanic students or students whose primary language isn't English have with this method?
No, it's very concise. Look at me, I'm an English learner every day, and I use it with ease. It's very direct. The way they formulated their questions is very it's a time for the kids to develop understanding of the English language even. Mm-hmm. I will always say, I'm a math teacher, but I will always say English and language is the most important of all topics, because without it, we could not even be communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm. Are there other nations that are adopting this type of method?
Yes, there are, for instance, almost to a nationwide scale, Israel was the first one. And it's an interesting case because they were out of about 30 countries, they were in number one in the 60s in a similar test that the one that I mentioned previously, the TIMSS test. And they went from number one to number 28 in a matter of 20 or 25 years after adopting the approaches that we have been doing for the last 30 years. And then they lost that. And now they are going back to basics, and they translated this in a matter of 1 year into Hebrew, and more and more schools are adopting it, and the results are promising. Also, within Latin America, Chile mm-hmm. is a very high-performing country in other indicators economically, you know, and they are adopting Singapore math. It's called Pensar Sin Limites, Thinking Without Limits, with the help of the Klein Foundation in from Santiago de Chile. And I believe the country will be actually completely on Singapore math.
Do you think that this method of Singapore math, how would it impact those who are maybe homeschooled?
It's perfect to supplement, because it's very self-guided. It's like a script. Mm-hmm. It reads like a script. It will always, once you introduce a lesson, and I will give you a short example, it will always let you know what exercise of the workbook the child has to do. Mm-hmm. Now, in my classes, I have to also include after these challenging problems, because the students are quite well prepared and they need more challenge. But within the method, I have that my availability. I can do that without having to think what kind of problem. It's always the sequence of problems is always on an increasing level of difficulty, and that facilitates my life a lot. I have more time to discuss alternative ways of solutions that are given by one student or the other. So math becomes almost like an art.
All right. Jorge, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you sharing the Singapore math with us today.
Thank you, Carlos.